Matthew chapter 5, we're going to get back into restoring my joy. We went away from that back in December, and we did several sermons on it. I want to preach through the Sermon on the Mount, and that's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so we're going to be in this for a little while, and unless we get off again. Well, I preached, if you remember, I went back in December and preached a series and about Christmas, and then we got on to our life group series about happy, and so that we're bringing, it's coming back to this, okay? So I wanted to get to this. And so Matthew chapter 5, what we're going to get into, Jesus really, if you remember, we went into the Beatitudes, and we preached through that, and we went into some other things, and now he's getting into some places where he's kind of, as Adrian Rogers said, we're going to get plowing close to the corn, I guess you would say. Today we're going to talk about adultery. We're living in a sexual revolution. I don't know when exactly it began. Most of you that are older would probably say back in the 60s, okay? But it has progressed, and we have really taken off in the last 10 years of what it's become now. It's become very popular now to be against anybody that's, I guess you'd say what we're going to talk about today, that is what I call a conservative, what I call biblical is what I call it. That's what I am. I'm biblical. And so now if you're against homosexuality, transgender, bisexual, if you're against any of those things, they're calling you some kind of a hyper, or you're some kind of against, and you're some kind of a racist or whatever, you know, you're all these things. But what it comes down to is it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It matters what God says. Amen? That's it. It's what it comes down to. I'm not trying to get you in to do something or not to do something that God doesn't say. And so when it comes to adultery, that's just been going on for a long time, and now it's just become almost like it's the norm of our society. TV has done a lot of damage in this area, because almost any kind of show you watch today, you'll see people living together. You'll see people having affairs outside of marriage, and it's just like you're in the minority if you're not doing those things. And so we have to understand that. So we realize that the family is the makeup of the country. And as the family goes, so the country goes. And so as the family goes in our church, so does our church go, because that's who we are. We're not a building with brick. We're a congregation of people. And so this congregation, this church, is not any stronger than the people that are here. And it especially comes when it comes into our families, and when it comes into the things of God, when it comes into things, our marriages, when it comes into things like adultery and things like that. And so what I'm preaching today is not something popular. I'm not saying this is something that's easy, but I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to be truthful. And the truth will set us free, and we need to hear the truth, and that's what we need to realize. And so especially our young people sitting over here, they need to realize that they're living in a society today that where, you know, the music, the TV they're watching, everything is saying it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. It's okay to have multiple affairs. It's okay. Everything's okay. Well, it's not okay. And the reason is because God says it's not okay. Amen? And he sets the rules we don't get to. And the reason he does that, this is the only way you'll ever buy into this, you'll ever go along with this, is you'll realize that God tells us those things because he loves us. And these things bring heartache and they bring damage into our lives. And it's something we deal with on a regular basis. I deal with it as a pastor. You know, I've dealt with it in my own family. My parents were divorced. I went through all that. I know the struggles. That's one thing I wanted to do, is I wanted to commit my life to one woman for life, for Mona. And I told her that before I ever became a Christian. And the reason I did was because I saw how much damage it did to my brother and myself as my parents went through multiple divorces. You know, some of you know my dad was married four times and my mother was married four times. And when they died, both of them were single. So I've been through all that. I've been through the step parents and the step brothers and sisters and all those things that we put our kids through. Then we're thinking, well, they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. Well, they're not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to do that. It has an impact on us. It had an impact on me. I went through that back in the 70s, and so it was a bigger stamina then than it was today, but still it damages you. There's some problems there, okay? And what has happened in our society today, it's made our young people, our millennials, that they're not getting married. It's like, let's just move in together because, why take the risk, why you do that is because God tells us to. He tells us to wed. He tells us to get married. It's an institution put by God, not by man, and we need to understand that. So today we're going to talk about the problem with that and what goes on in a lot of homes and what goes on in a lot of families, and it's the thing called adultery. Okay, so look there in Matthew chapter 5, starting there in verse 37, and let's see what Jesus says. It says, "You have heard it said, you have heard it that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks after a woman, lusts after her, already commits adultery within his heart." So what you need to realize is what we're saying is when you get into the Old Testament, when you get into and go into the New Testament, you realize that Jesus doesn't lower the standards in the New Testament; he raises them. Okay. He's saying you've heard it in the you've heard it, and he's talking about. He's talking about Exodus 20, verse 14. He's saying you heard it. It said, you know, do not commit adultery. But I'm saying, and he doesn't lower the standard, and that's what a lot of people think that the New Testament does. But what he does, he raises the standard. Listen to what he says. He says, "You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully already has committed adultery with his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, gorge it out and throw it away. And it's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for you to, your whole body to go into hell." Verse 31 says, "It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery." Now, let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we preach a message today that's not popular in our society because we're living in a time where there's homes broken every day. We deal with them in our church. We deal with them in, all around us, our friends and families. And so, God, it's a revolution in our church, in our lives today, dear God. We're seeing the breaking up of the home. And God, that has consequences. It has consequences in our country. It has consequences in our churches. It has consequences. And we need to realize that, dear God. And so, God, help us listen today, dear God, with open ears and open hearts, realizing the importance of what the family really means and how adultery can pull those things apart. And so, God, let us hear in truth today. God, let us, we're not here to condemn people. We're not here to judge people. But, God, we're here to show people the truth because, God, that's what brings us to you. That's what helps us understand you because you love us and you care for us and you see the damages of adultery. So, God, let us hear this truth today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. Look there in your bulletin. It asks the question, do you believe that we're living in a moral revolution? Well, we are living in a moral revolution. We have been for several years. And we need to realize it's a spiral down. We're not going up, we're going down. And that's what the Bible tells us. And a revolution tries to carry out change. It tries to change something. And so what they're doing, they're trying to change the mind of people. And that's what it's trying to do. I mean, you know, it's, if you live that kind of a lifestyle, I've told you before, that doesn't mean I'm not going to have anything to do with it, even though I might not agree with you. And so when we have friends and we have family members that we disagree with in these areas, that don't mean that I don't have anything to do with them. What it does mean, though, is I don't have to agree with you. And so we can agree to disagree and we can go on. And that's what I try to do with people. And that seems to try to tell people that I love you in spite of you. I love in spite of the life that you're living. And so today we're living in a sexual revolution. That's what we're doing. And it's been kind of crammed down our throats as a church. It's like I said, if you watch TV, you watch very much TV, you see that, you know, you would think half the world is sleeping with somebody else and half the world is a homosexual or transgender. And that's not true. That's what you're getting your information from Hollywood. And Hollywood is a lie. It's what it is. It lies to us, but it tries to set trends, and that's what goes on. If you watch very many sitcoms and things like that, I watch some of the things on TV like the Chicago PD and all these different things and some of these programs you watch. Well, you would think, man, it's just a regular occurrence, but that's not true. The statistics don't back it up. The statistics in the country today, you might be alarmed at this, and it's a good thing though. But the divorce rate's going down in America. Amen. It's now gotten down to 41%. That's the divorce rate as of 2018. So that's a good thing. And so it's going down. One of the reasons it is, though, if you look into it, is a lot of people are not getting married. they're just living together. They're shacking up. Call it what you want to. I still call it shacking up. Okay, that's slang, but that's what I call it. Okay. And I set when in my ministry, and I think you too, you should have set boundaries in your lifestyle. I don't accept that. I don't accept that. One of the things that I do, and I'll let you know before you ever come to me, is I don't marry people living together. I will not do that. I'll marry people that have lived together, but when you go through counseling, and it takes you about 6 weeks to go through counseling with me, I ask you to move out. And I have married couples that were living together that have moved out because they wanted me to marry them, okay? And I respect that. So I'm not saying I won't marry anybody that's ever lived together. What I'm saying is I won't marry you as you're going through this Christian counseling that I'm doing, okay? And you're going to walk down the aisle of a church. I want you to be in right hands of God, okay? And so That's not very popular. I don't do very many weddings anymore, okay? And there's some folks that are friends of mine. I mean, I've had some friends of mine call me and ask me to do their wedding. And I say, this is what I require for you to do. And I do that for everybody, okay? And listen, I have to live by my convictions. And that's my convictions. Now, that's one thing that I don't back up on. I signed a paper about 20 years ago saying that I wouldn't marry anybody unless they go through this training, unless they go through this marriage counseling. And I'm telling you, it's excellent stuff. I don't know why anybody wouldn't do it. And I tell couples, even though, you know, maybe you're not going to move out from each other, but at least take the material and go through it because it really helps you. The material is really good. And so I encourage people. But listen, we've got to take a stand on things like this. And it's not going to be popular. Everybody's not going to applaud you. I've made some parents mad because I've had some young people call me and ask me to marry them, and then I wouldn't do it. And it's friends of mine, so I wouldn't marry their kids, okay? But listen, I can tell my kids I'm not going to marry them if they're living together, okay? My own kids, I won't do it if they're going to live together. That's up to them. That's a decision they make, okay? And so I'm not going to back down from any of that. Because why? Because we got to stand on what the truth is, amen? And the church has to do that, you know? And we need to understand that. And so today we're living in a sexual revolution. It's a spiral down, and we have to understand it. But listen, God has not changed, and His Word has not changed. Exodus 20:14 says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," and that's not changing. God's not changed. The world is changing. And we have to ask ourselves, which way are we going to go? Are we going to go with the world, or are we going to go with God? Well, I'm sticking with God. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm sticking with God. And so people say things like, you know, this is 2019 and things have changed. Things have changed, but God hasn't. And so the Bible teaches us, and I believe that marriage is ordained by God. It's a plan of God, not man, so He makes the rules. I don't get to. You don't get to. This is not a state thing. This is not a government thing. This is a biblical thing. A marriage is a biblical thing, and we need to understand that. And so what we have to understand is the family sets the course for the country, it sets the course for our church, and it sets the course for our world. Other countries and how they see things and how they act and react to things affect our country today, and we have to understand that. And so what we're seeing today here, we're going to see a couple of things here. First of all, what does Jesus teach about marriage? We're going to look at marriage first. Well, look in Matthew chapter 19, in verses 4 through 6. It says, "Haven't you read," He replied, "that at the beginning God created them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So there's no longer two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let what? Man separate." No man separate, okay? And so we're living in that time today. So what's Jesus teaching here? Well, first of all, marriage is created by God. Like I said, it's a plan from God. It's not a plan of man, okay? And so you have to understand that. So God sets the rules of marriage, not man. And so when people today, the most popular thing is a no-fault divorce. Let me let you in on a secret. There's no such thing, okay? Both of you might be at fault. One of you be at fault, but somebody got fault, okay? And what it usually is pride. That's what it comes down to. That's what I have. I see. That's what I see. It's pride. Somebody does something or says something or acts in a way, and then pride sets in, and one or both won't give in. And that's usually what tears the family apart. The second thing is it takes commitment. If you're in a marriage, you know this. It takes a commitment. It's not easy, okay? You need to think through this a long time. Because why? Because it takes both sides. It can't just be one. The Bible tells us to leave and to cleave. And what that means is that's what makes it work. When we leave outside the other family we were involved in and just start cleaving to our families, it makes them number one in our lives, God's number one, and they're number two, then what we realize, it makes a commitment to a person. And so you'll never be happy in a marriage when you're trying to live like you're single. And a lot of people try to do that. They try to get married and keep the same kind of a lifestyle. That doesn't work. It doesn't work very good, okay? You're now married, and you need to understand that. And you've got that. Your best friend should be your wife or your husband. That should be that person, okay? The third thing it's the last forever. Now, this is not very popular at all. I think I've told you before, I had a girl come to me years ago. It wasn't here at this church. It was at Harvest. And the day of her wedding, she asked me if I could leave out until death do us part. That's what she asked me. I mean, can you imagine walking up to the preacher and saying, yes, okay. I didn't even know the girl. Okay, this is before I went through the training and started. This is one of the reasons I went through the training and now make everybody go through it and all that. She comes up too. I'd met the couple a couple of times. I'd done a couple of things of counseling with them. And she comes up to me on her wedding day and says, well, I'd like, what are you going to say? And I said, well, you know, what I said last night, we went through the thing. This is her wedding. She says, well, can you leave out that death to us part death through his heart part. And I said, no, I can't, you know. And she just looks like me like, it's my wedding, but I'm thinking, but I'm the preacher, you know. So, I'm going to say it, okay. So she just kind of stormed off, and you can imagine the bride and everything got red-faced and made her look good and white. But again, I wasn't going to back up on it. I mean, you know what, man, you know, that's just, I wasn't going to do it. So, can you imagine somebody asking you that? So I had a friend here the other day that told me that he agreed to marry a couple. And the lady sent him a thing in the mail. They didn't live here, and sent him a thing in the mail, and telling him what they wanted him to say at their wedding. Then he wrote her, or he texted her back and said, "I've got my own version of that, okay." And he said he didn't. He threw it away and went on. So, but all kind of things are happening today. It's like we don't, you know. So my thing is this. I mean, this is how I see it. If you're not going to do it, if you're not going to be of God, then why do it at the church? Okay, well, go down to the courthouse, man. Get your $25 wedding and head out. Okay, there's a lot of folks done that, and they've been all right with that. Okay, but don't come to the church and make a mockery of the church and make a mockery of the pastor. This is a Christian church. I'm a Christian pastor, and we're going to do it a Christian way. Amen. So that's going to be okay. I tell people I tell people ain't going to be no beer drinking, belly rubbing music done in the service. Okay, I mean you kind of pick your own music and everything, but I mean we ain't going to do all that kind of stuff. Now when you get to the what are they called? Now the wedding is nothing. Now it's the what is it? The reception. Okay, it's the reception. Okay, and so when you get to the reception, you do what you want to, as long as you don't do it at this church. But now when you get anywhere else, you can do what you want to. But here you're not going to do it. Now here a few years ago, I went to a wedding and I went through it and so. I knew I'd messed up pretty good when I walked up to it on the rehearsal night. They had a 14-foot fishing boat full of beer. And I thought, well, I'm at the wrong place. But I wasn't marrying them here at the church. I was marrying them somewhere else. So I went along. Well, I called the groom and the bride over there. I said, listen, I got one request. I said, y'all can do whatever you want to do after we get through this. But until we do this, I don't want to see you or him drinking. Okay? And they honored that. They apologized. Okay. But then I got to the wedding, the day of the wedding. I got there, and they had about half of a boat full of beer then. And I noticed that some of the folks in the wedding was drinking, okay? They wasn't, but some of the folks. So I called and said, listen. I said, I got a little redneck, okay? I said, listen, I'm not going to walk down here and somebody staggering down the aisle, okay? And I mean, I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about the other folks up here too, okay? And I said, so you go over and tell your buddies, or you want me to, go over and tell them quit drinking, you know? I said, now after this is over with, I said, I'm going to get my truck and leave, and y'all can just get blown away, okay? But I said, it's right now, we're not going to do this, okay? And so, okay, they went over there, and man, I said, man, just throwing it down and everything like that. I'm saying, man, what's the deal, you know? So, listen, I'll tell you this. When I got married, Mona and I got married, I was about as heathen as you could get. But one thing I did, I respected the people that were there. I got married in a church, I respected it, and I respected the pastor, okay? And even though I was as heathen as you could get, I mean, I did it all. But listen, I had respect for the people that were there showing up to watch Mona and I get married. We had respect for our parents. You know, we respected them. We didn't want to embarrass them, okay? And so we did all that stuff after we got married, okay? Which I'm not telling you to do that either. But I'm just telling you, you need to realize it, okay? You need to realize that there's a sense of respect here. And we're going in an age today. And I'm just telling you guys, if you were a pastor, you couldn't believe what people ask you today, okay? It's just unbelievable. But there's no respect for God. There's no respect for God's people. It's it's coming to that. And you need to realize when you take this vow, you're doing it forever. It's not a 90-day trial, okay? It's not it's no return policy, okay? That's marriage, okay? And you're doing it forever. And it needs to be done seriously. I'm not saying not have a good time. I think a wedding you ought to have fun. You ought to have all those things too. But you ought to be doing it seriously because it means something. And if it doesn't mean anything to you, don't do it in the church because it's just playing games, okay? You're not impressing anybody, okay? And you're not fooling anybody, okay? So let's move on. Okay, I told you I'm playing close to the corn today now. The second thing is, what is adultery against? Well, here we go, okay? Adultery, for some of you that don't know, okay? Adultery is when a man and a woman gets married, okay? And then one begins to have sexual relations with somebody else outside the marriage. That's what adultery is, okay? And so what does adultery do? Well, the first thing, it's a sin against oneself. And listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. It says, flee from sexual immorality. It says, all other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. It's the seriousness of it, okay? It's the seriousness of it. And so there's few things in life that really ruin someone's life more than sexual sin. It does something to us physically. There's all kinds of diseases out there. And you say, well, is that a curse by God? I think it is. God either allows it or he causes it, but God, he's a part of it, okay? And so a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't want to label God that because I don't know, but I'm just telling you, I see a lot of things. So physically, emotionally, it comes down spiritually, it comes down our spiritual life. And so when we break God's law, what happens? God's law breaks us. You need to realize that. So it's a sin against ourselves. Here's just some statistics. 41% of today, I told you, 41% of today marriages are being divorced. And here's some of you folks that have been divorced and thinking about trying it again. 60% of those marriages don't make it. And here's some folks that's done it twice and thinking about the third time. 80% of those, no, take that, 73% of those folks don't make it, okay? So it's like I told my daddy after his fourth marriage, I said, maybe it's you. And he said, maybe it is, you know. I mean, have you ever figured out, maybe something's wrong there. You just can't, you know, I told a friend of mine, he was on his third marriage, and I said, he fixed to get divorced. And I said, man, I said, let's let me put some women on the wall, and you just close your eyes and throw a dart and hit one. I said, because the ones you're picking are kind of rough, okay? And which it wasn't really funny, but you have to know him, okay? And so what we have to understand is this. What's the problem with marriage today? Well, number one reason for people get divorced, number one reason is this. Might surprise you, money. Number one reason people get divorced today over money. And most people who get divorced, it's not over millions, it's over hundreds and thousands. Number one reason. The second reason is adultery. Second reason. So number one is money. Number two is adultery is what's going on in the country today. Okay. So money can cause trouble, okay? And so sin against oneself. The second thing is sin against the home. Everyone's hurt. There's no, you know, you got to do damage control, and it takes years to get past that. So some selfish person has chosen to do what? They've chosen to sin, and it hurts the family. It hurts people around you. It's like throwing a rock in water, and it just kind of ripple effect, and it hurts more. You know, and it hurts more than just the immediate family. It's more than just the kids. I mean, it hurts your extended family. It hurts your friends. I mean, all of a sudden your friends don't know how to react. I mean, you know, you were friends with these couples and these people before, and now it's like they don't know what to say or what to do because they don't want to act like they're taking sides. So they just kind of avoid you. It's like, I don't want to get involved in this, okay? Same thing in the church, you know. We've had divorces in the church, you know, and we think, you know, nobody says anything to me. Nobody's helped me. People get mad at that. I say, man, they don't know what to say. Because they don't want to act like they're taking your side. They don't want to hurt the other person. So it just kind of puts everybody on guard. Like, what do we do? What do we say? We don't really know, okay? And so we can love them, but we don't know what happens. And so what you have to understand is it affects people. And it comes out of a sense of sexiness. Listen, if you're having a sexual relationship outside of your marriage, let me tell you what. All it is you're just satisfying yourself. You're making a choice. You can quit. You're not an animal. I mean, the world tries to teach us that, but we're not animals. We don't have to do that, okay? You're making a choice to do that, okay? It affects your friends and your coworker and your extended family. It affects your church. And the third thing, it's a sin against the church. It's a sin against the church. The church is a family. We're your family. We're here to help you, okay? And we want to be a help. But it's a sin against us, and it hurts us. It bothers us. It hurts the name of the church. And we're a body, and we're no stronger than each of its members are, and we have to understand that. And so you represent, when you take the title of Christian, it ought to mean something to you. You represent, first of all, you're representing the Lord, and you're disappointing Him, and you're doing what? You're running His name through the mud, but you're also a member of this church. And so what the problem, the biggest thing is the divorce rate in the country is almost as great of Christians as it is non-Christians. And so it's like, man, what's the deal? But what it doesn't pull, when you look at that, you need to realize this. And I heard this on a report also. The people, those surveys, they can make them sound basically how they want to, the way they ask the question. And so they would ask people like, okay, you're divorced. Did you go to church? Yes. Well, the problem is they didn't ask them how much. You know, have you ever seen anybody say they didn't go to church? Very few people. Oh, yeah. Well, what's the preacher's name? They don't know the preacher, you know, they know they go to church. But what it is, if a person goes to church over twice a month, then the divorce rate for those people it goes down to about 5%. That's a good statistic. Amen? That's good. So the divorce rate in the country is 41% right now. The divorce rate in they say Christians, they advertise this. The divorce rate in Christians is about the same. But the Christian that goes to church over twice a month is down to 5%. So that's good. So church coming to church does help, okay? Because you hear messages like this. And if you're in an affair, you need to realize what you're doing is wrong. I don't care what everybody else tells you. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. It's still wrong. God says it's wrong, and it's wrong. And we need to understand it. We need to quit. Stop it. You can, okay? And we need to understand that. So the next thing is sin against the Lord. In Psalms 51 and verse 4, listen to what David said. You remember about David? Most everybody realizes, you know, two things. He was a great king, but also he committed adultery. And here's what he says. He says, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. And so he's saying here, what he's saying is you're sinning against the Lord, the one that died for us, the God that sent his son to die for us. You're sinning against him. You've made a commitment to him. You've taken him as Lord, and that means he's the boss, and he calls the shots, and you've committed to him, and now you're walking away from him. And it's a sin that'll be judged. It's what he says there in Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Marriage should be honored by all, their marriage bed kept pure, for God would judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. And so it's a sin that'll be judged. And so don't kid yourself. You know, there's a price tag that comes with adultery. You say, well, nobody found out. God did. God knows, you know. And anytime I've ever found out, you know, it takes two to have adultery, you know that. Anytime you let over one person find out something, somebody else is going to know, because everybody's got that other person they're going to tell. Everybody in jail, you know what most of them are in jail for? Because they told somebody else, and somebody told them, somebody told them. It says, shh, don't tell anybody, but, you know, and here you go, okay. And the jailhouse is full of people like that. And so you need to realize that. And it's the same thing in adultery. They're going to tell somebody else. Remember this, God forgives us of our sin, but he doesn't always take away the consequences. And if some of you are sitting out here today and you're living in the consequences, don't look at them, okay? But you're living with the consequences of divorce or living with the consequences of adultery and what happened to those marriages, you know? And so we need to realize that it has a price tag. It's got baggage with it. It comes with that. You need to think about that hard when you get ready to get married and you're thinking about marriage, somebody's coming out of a divorce situation. It's tough. That makes it tough, okay? You need to realize, you look at the statistics, okay? Look at the statistics, okay? What happens? And very few of those marriages make it. What happens is this. When you get into a marriage, you begin to see who you really are, and not only the other person also. And so you've got to make some adjustments, and we call that change, and none of us likes to change. So what happens is, if we don't want to change, okay, what happens is we just leave. And the problem is if we're the problem, we get into another relationship, then the person that we married, they might see the same thing wrong with the first mate did, and they want you to change too, and then you've got to make a decision, what I'm going to do this time, okay? So you need to think through it. You know, even, you know, if we, what we have, that's why you need to talk to each other. That's why you need to sometimes have counseling with other people to bring out those areas of your life that needs to be changed and be willing to do that out of a sense of love for them and love for the Lord. And so because there are consequences to this, you need to realize that. And so now, how do we stay pure in this very impure world that we're living in today? Well, it's not easy. Okay, it's not easy. First of all, we'd make a decision to put God first. In Luke 10 and verse 27, it says, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. When we love God, that takes away a lot of things. Regardless of how mad I get at Mona, and how displeased I am with her, I still, when I get before the Lord, I still love him, okay? I might be mad at her, but I still love the Lord. And so there might be times in your marriage that you don't stay in your marriage, but one reason is because you're committed to God, okay? Because if you're staying married over a week, you're going to have problems, you're going to have trouble. I don't know if anybody ever tells you that, but that's how it's going to happen. You're going to have trouble. And so you're going to have difficulty in your life, and you're going to have trials. And so you've got to make a decision, you've got to make a commitment to say, hey, I'm sticking with this till death do us part. And that's what you're saying when you stand before a preacher. That's why it angered me so badly when that girl asked me, can I take that part out? I'm thinking, no, I'm not taking it out, because that's what it means. That's what God says, is till death do us part, okay? And that's not, like I said, that's not popular today, okay? And I know there's multiple people in here who've been divorced, and I understand that, and I sympathize with you. But again, look. Maybe you could have saved your marriage if you'd have heard something like this before. You've got to make a decision to that. And when you're right with God, the rest will usually fall into place. And that's not always, because why? Because it takes two. And some godly people have gotten divorced. I've been through a divorce situations where I counseled people where there was once some person, the person in the marriage, it was godly, they were serving the Lord, and then they had a person that wouldn't do that. And you know, it takes two to have a relationship. I understand that, okay? You can't make somebody else love you. You can't make somebody else not do those things. But we have to make a decision ourselves to put God first in our lives. And our decision to stay pure, it's not going to be an easy one, and it's not going to be a popular one. It's not going to be easy, it's not going to be popular, so don't ever expect it to do that. Don't ever expect it to be that way. The next thing is depend. Depend on God and not yourself. We have to depend on him. Because of the world that we're living in, we're living in a sex-crazed world. I don't care if they sell tires or bubble gum. It's usually a half-naked woman doing it, okay? Or some guy with about a half of a shirt on, okay? I mean, it's sex sells is what they say. It doesn't matter what you watch on. You can turn over to Nickelodeon now and see, you know, stuff on commercials that shouldn't be on there, okay? But we have to depend on God. We have to guard our minds, guard our eyes, watch what we're listening to, watch what we're letting in. I mean, listen to the music today. I mean, listen to the, well, not just today, back in my day too, okay? Listen to the rock and roll music. What is sex, drugs, and rock and roll? You know, listen to the country music. You know, if you ain't got a dog and a divorce and a train in it, they don't play it, okay? And so it's just, that's, and it's all about, you know, your moral relationships. And it's like, it's okay, you know, it's okay. It's not okay. I don't care what they say, it's not okay. And we need to realize that. And so in Psalms 18 in verse 2, how do we get past all that? How do we fight through those battles? It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock and in whom I take refuge. And that's what we have to have, take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Listen, we have to put our faith in God. And when we get right with God, a lot of the things will take care of itself. A lot of it will take care of itself. Doesn't mean it's going to work itself out just then, but it'll take care of itself. And we have to understand that with God's help. And so you can't stay pure on your own today. It's just it's a battle you're not going to win. So you've got to have some time with God. I spend time every day with God. I put on your battle armor like I tell you I do every day. Why? Because I know I'm going to meet those things in my life. I see those things. And it's strong. It's you're just bombarded with those things over and over and over and over again. And what does the Bible do? The Bible brings you back to truth. What does coming to church do? It brings you back to truth. And for some of you, if you don't read the Bible, all you ever hear is you hear me get up here and hoop and holler for 30 minutes and you go home thinking everything's going to be all right. No, it's not going to work like that, okay? You need to spend time with God every day to get prepared and get ready to meet the world that we're living in today, or you're going to fall apart. You're going to give in. And so it's a decision. It's a depend, and it's a devotion. First of all, it's a devotion to your family. It's a devotion to your church. It's a devotion to your friends. And then lastly and mostly, it's a devotion to the Lord. If you're calling yourself a Christian today, then live like it. It means a follower of Christ, a little Christ, and so live like that. And so to stay pure, it's a devotion. You're making it a devotion to God. And that doesn't mean that your marriage is going to be happily ever after, okay? It don't usually happen like that all through a marriage, okay? It doesn't happen like that. But you've made a commitment. And like I said, I understand. You know, I understand that we're all right, but I've been through some counseling before where I saw some situations where I walked away, and I never counsel people to divorce. I never, unless there's an abusive situation, then I'll tell them to get out of the home, but I never counsel divorce, okay? I think it can be worked out. If two people put God first in their lives, anything can be worked through, amen? Anything can be. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. Doesn't mean there's not going to be a lot of water under the bridge, but it can be worked out, so I don't never do that. But I'm saying this, there has been times I've told people they need to get out of the home because of an abusive situation. I do that. But what we have to understand is when we devote ourselves to God, two people devote themselves to God, they can work through anything. And what you have to understand is that when you say, well, I'm going to go to counseling, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you have to, first decision you have to make, okay? The first decision you have to make is, am I going to listen to God? Am I going to listen to God in this? Am I going to do what God says? But the thing is, when you get there, you can't make that decision for the other person. You can't make that decision for the other person. You can't do that. It takes two to have a relationship. There's two reasons for biblical divorce. He named one there, and first it's unfaithfulness, which means adultery, someone committing adultery, okay? Someone in the marriage commits adultery, and then you know, that's a biblical divorce. And the other thing is, if a person has married someone that's not a Christian and they want to leave, the Bible says let them leave, okay? So there's two reasons for what you call scriptural divorce, okay? Everything else falls under this same category we're talking about today. It falls under the category of unscriptural divorce, and it makes us become adulterers when we remarry and have a relationship with other people, okay? And so you say, well, that's hard, Brother Nathan. Well, I didn't say it's going to be easy, you know? God didn't say it's going to be easy. God's saying when you make a decision to marry somebody, you better think long and hard, buddy, you know? You better look down the line. You better think about it. This is not just for a year or two or three. I don't care what the world. This is for a lifetime. You better think a long way about it. One of the things that's going on in our society today is this, and I think it's a good thing is a lot of young people are waiting longer to get married. They're not getting married as young because why? Because after you get older, you begin to what? You are set in your ways, and when you get set in your ways, the other person you begin to have a relationship, they get to see those ways. You know, when you're young in life, you're just kind of getting set. You're just kind of getting set. So a lot of people got married young, and it's like, whoa, I don't know what I bargained for here. I don't know what I did here, okay? And so I'm not saying that's a bad thing for people to be waiting longer to get married today, okay? And so look at the closing. Am I living pure? Am I living pure? That's a decision you have to make. And I'm saying today, when you took Jesus Christ as your Lord, you said you're the boss, and you're saying, God, that's what you're putting in, saying, I'm going to keep my life pure. And so what I'm telling you today, if you're married and you're out here and you're sleeping with somebody else, quit. It's that simple. You don't have to have a lot of theology. Just quit. Just stop it. You can stop it. You're not an animal. You say, well, what am I going to tell the other person? You're going to tell them you're not going to do it anymore. That's what you're going to say. And then you're going to quit going around them and quit calling them and being a part of that. If you're not married today and you're having sex outside, let me tell you what, that sex outside of marriage is a sin too. It's a sin. It's called fornication. And you're not to have sex until you're married. If you're doing that, you can say, well, Brother Nathan, you're just narrow-minded. No, I'm biblical. It's what I am. I'm biblical. Okay. And again, that carries consequences with it also. And you need to realize that, okay? Like I said, the Bible hasn't changed. I don't care how naive you think I am. Brother Nate, you don't know. Yeah, I know a lot about world. I know a lot about life, okay? And I'm just telling you, it's still wrong. It doesn't matter. It's still wrong. Because why? Because what the Bible says it. And so we're to stay pure. Lesson to learn today, my morals matter. They matter. They matter to me. They matter to this church. They matter to your family. They matter to God. They do matter. And the application is life is a series of choices. Life is a series of choices, and so we make our choices, and then our choices make us. And so you're making some choices. You're making some choices, and the choices you are making, you need to realize with is this, is you're making choices to do what? You're making choices that's going to have consequences to them. And so you get to make the choice, but you don't make the choice of the consequences. You see what I'm saying? You hear that again? You get to make the choice, but you don't choose the consequences of what happens because of that. And so, and it's got a lot of times it's a rough road down that line, okay? A lot of times you can't come back from that. Again, God forgives us for all our sins, but that doesn't mean He takes away the consequences of them, okay? And there's a lot of people living in the consequences of sin. If they knew what the price tag would have been, they'd have said, "I'd have never done it." Well, won't you be smart and not do it now, okay? Or quit doing it now, okay? And that's what it comes down. So listen, here he hears his Sermon on the Mount, his famous sermon, okay? And what's one thing he's dealing with here? You say, well, you know, what does Jesus think is important? Well, we've gone through this. We're getting into here we are just still in chapter 5 now. We're going to get some more stuff going, okay? But one of the first things he mentions is what? Is don't commit adultery. Why? Because it was going on in his day also. It was going on in his day also, okay? As long as there's been men and women, there's been adultery. But it doesn't make it right. And it hurts families, and it destroys things, and it destroys the country, it destroys this church, it can destroy anything if you allow it to. But you've got a choice to say no. Amen? 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 Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, dear God, and we have a message here that's hard to hear. But you have it because you love us and you care about us. And you know what adultery does to the home. You know what it does to the family. You know what it does to churches and countries. And God, we're living in a sexual revolution here in our country today, and it's just kind of hands down. Anything goes, and that's not what you desire, and there's going to be consequences of that, Lord. There already are consequences of that. We're seeing more and more children born out of wedlock. We see what the consequences of that. We see more and more people just living together and not being married. We see the consequences of that. We're seeing people divorcing. We're seeing all these things because of someone's sinful desires. And all it is being selfish. It's just being selfish and wanting something that I think is going to somehow fulfill me. But God, help us understand this is about sin. One time won't satisfy us. It always that second and that third. And God, let us be smart enough to understand that. Let us be wise enough to understand that. So God, if there's anybody in this service today that's living in fornication, that's committing adultery, God, help them. Holy Spirit, touch their hearts to show them the wrongness of it and the consequences of it and the price tag that will have to be paid for it. God, let them see what it can happen in their lives, God. For those that here that have committed adultery, those of here that have been through a divorce, God, you do forgive them. But God, they realize that you hadn't taken away the consequences, and let them be an example for other people when they see other people giving in and going along. God, help them to step up and say, hey, I've done that, and it hurts, and hurt other people. And I've paid a huge price, and I love you enough not to do that. So, God, let people here that's made mistakes, have sinned. God, let them help the others behind them, and they won't make those same mistakes, God. Let that be true of us as a church and us as individuals, God. So, God, we come before you today here, and we preach this heavy message, God, because we're living in a world today that doesn't see the seriousness of it. But, God, it is serious because you says it. You say it is. And, God, let us honor you with our lives, God. And when we do that, God, then we'll be the ones that you can use for your glory and your honor. We love you and we praise you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And God gives you an opportunity to do that today. I don't know how you're going to live in a sinful world and not sin without Jesus. Amen? I don't think you're going to do it, okay? Especially in the areas of sexuality and the world we're living in today. I don't think that, okay? But maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You come down this aisle and Mike or myself will show you exactly what you have to do to be saved. Or maybe there's something you're dealing with. And I'm saying, listen, everybody walks down this aisle. Don't think everybody, well, they're committed adultery. Maybe you've got something else going on in your life. You've got a sickness. You've got a bad, you know, you've got somebody you want to pray with or pray for or whatever it might be. You come and we'll pray with you or for you. You just come to the altar. But if you've got a need in your life, you come today, okay? Right?